morning. You notice our graphic for the month of September, which is invitation. It looks something like this. And this morning, I'm going to talk about how invitation looks like this, and it looks like this, and sometimes it even looks like this. In fact, if we're really honest, invitation also sometimes looks like this. Invitation, the practice of welcoming life in. You could spend a lifetime, not just 3 weeks, talking about that, but this morning we'll look at what it means for us at this moment in our lives to really welcome life with a capital L. And as we begin that exploration, I'm going to invite Philip and Maria to come forward to kindle the flame of our faith together as we think about the light and the life that we invite. May the light of invitation, the light of our hearts and heart fires, always burn bright.
Our story this morning is the story of Badger and Mole and the Bring Something Heart. All of the animals of the forest were sitting one day in the woods, and along came bats with invitations. And the invitations dropped, and Squirrel opened the first and said, "Badger is having a Bring Something Party." The animals all got very excited. Rabbit said, "I'll bring fairy cakes. I make them very well." And Owl said, "I will bring elderberry juice." And all of the animals thought of all the things that they might bring. Some would bring balloons, some would bring streamers, and some would bring noisemakers. And Rat said he would bring a pile of hats all atop his head to share with all the people. So they would also get to wear funny hats. But Mole found himself in a bit of a grumpy mood that morning. Mole wasn't sure what he would bring to a bring-something party. So Mole went to see Badger and said to Badger, "Badger, thank you for the invitation, but I'm not sure that I can come to your party. I don't have anything to bring. And I'm so busy digging my new house that I don't have time to make anything." And Badger said, "Well, Mole, how about this? How about you bring yourself? How about you bring yourself to the Bring Something Party?" And Mole said, "That would be okay to just bring myself." And Badger said, "Yeah, I think that would be great. I would love to have yourself at my Bring Something Party." And so Mole went away and said, "Okay, I'll bring myself to the Bring Something Party." And so he went back, and the week went on, and the party approached, and the day of the party arrived, and Mole found himself still digging in the ground, and I looked up at the clock and went, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to be late." So Mole went out to the party, still burning, still covered in mud, and on the way to the party, he encountered the other animals, and they were all dressed in their very finest. And Rabbit had a fairy cakes, and Rat had all of his hats. All of the animals had brought all the things that they were bringing to the Bring Something Party. And then Hedgehog said to Mole, "Mole, what have you brought?" And Mole said, "I brought myself." And Hedgehog said, "You can't just bring yourself to a Bring Something Party, that's not fair. We've all brought ourselves and something else." And so Mole started to feel a little bad about himself. He started to feel a little bit embarrassed. And he got to the party and found himself shrinking more and more into the corner. Not sure what he was doing there. It didn't look like everybody was talking about him. And he was right, they were. They were talking about how Mole had come but not brought anything to the Bring Something Party. And how that wasn't fair. And so Mole sat moping in the corner for a little while before Badger walked over. And Badger said to Mole, "Badger, Mole, what's going on?" And Mole I invited you to come and bring yourself to the party, but the self I invited, the mole I invited, wasn't Moby standing in the corner, no fun mole. I invited interesting mole. And the mole said, "Well, and look, I have that mole right here. I thought I interested." At that point, mole stood up and sidled over to rabbit and said, "Hey, rabbit, you ever seen a two-step like this before?" And he danced a funny dance, and he swayed from side to side. And rabbit said, "I have never seen a dance like that. Can you teach it to me?" So mole taught rabbit how to dance, and soon the whole party was dancing mole's new dance that he made up on the spot. They all went to go get some elderberry juice, and mole said to the group, "Have you ever seen this party trick before?" And soon all of the things that people had brought were piled in a giant pile, and Snail was up on top. And it made for quite a scene, and the party got roaring fun after Mole brought his whole self to the party. So that's our story for today. Badger is who we sometimes have to be. We have to invite all of people. We have to invite people's interesting bits to the party. And sometimes we have to be bold, and we have to bring our interesting stuff. Thank you very much.
Sunday, when we gather, we pause. We kindle flames of hope that our world might be still someday a place of peace. We kindle these flames and we know it is an act of faith because every day, seemingly every moment, hear of more loss, more violence. And so this morning our heart breaks for Syria, our heart breaks for New York, our heart breaks for the fact that we still have not learned to live as one human. Sunday when we gather, O Spirit, O God of life, we kindle flames of remembrance because it is so important that we not forget those who have taught us how to love, those who have shown us a path in life. In this month, when we are focused on what it means to invite life in, our prayer this morning is that we might remain open. For so much in our world invites us to be anxious and fearful, invites us to be jaded and cynical, invites us to close ourselves off. So let us, O Spirit, O God of life, go the other direction. Let us open rather than close. Help us to remain inviters of each new morning that breaks. So may it be.
willingness come from? What ingredients have to be mixed together for one course or another to be chosen? When everything is falling apart, when it seems nothing more could be lost, why not? Why not go all in? Such was my life not that long ago. I had to take a step. I knew I needed a lifeline. I was drowning. At times it did physically feel hard to breathe. Seeking connection, seeking outside myself, I, like many others, found my way to a spiritual community by the name of Unitarian Universalism. By being willing not to run the marathon, but just enough willingness to take the first step. And then another, and then another, as the way forward began to reveal itself to me. An invitation arrived in the form of a men's group, a circle of men sharing deeply how we were wounded and how we wounded others. I became aware of a truth, that through complete honesty and authenticity, by burying my soul in a safe, supportive place, that deep spiritual growth was possible. This invitation did require something of me, though. It required me to suspend or at least set aside my ego, to share, to be real, to be vulnerable. I realized I was not alone, that I was loved and valued despite my faults and failings. Another invitation on the path arrived to participate in a men's intensive retreat ran by an organization called the Mankind Project. Challenged both individually and as part of a team, the weekend showed me what was possible when I challenged my own thoughts and beliefs about myself. There, I discerned my mission. I created a more compassionate and loving community by being my authentic and honest self. Now, participating in these circles sustains me, guides me, and continues to reveal the path to me. And I am not on the path alone, sharing my experience, but bits of wisdom I have gained. I can help another. I can be the giving hand that once reached out to me. In closing, I ask you to mindfully consider whether you are feeling pulled toward that next step on your path. Is something inviting you into some new exploration? Know that here in this place of loving community, we are supported on our journey.
Those of you who have attended memorial services that I have officiated have likely heard me share the final stanzas of the poem that will be our reading for this morning. It's a poem by Mary Oliver that I think is a good leaping off point for our exploration this morning of invitations. It's Mary Oliver's poem, When Death Comes. When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and it takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy and as singular. And and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending as all music does toward silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. RSVP to life. Every morning that we awake, every day that we are alive, we answer an invitation. Not like replying to an invitation to a party or a wedding, but like responding to the deepest invitation we have ever been given. The invitation that began when you took your first breath. It is an invitation that includes questions like, how will I respond to whatever and whomever I encounter? What will I notice and take in? What will I refuse or ignore? I join the poet, or at least I long to join the poet in saying all my life I was a bride married to amazement. Don't you want to do that? Whether I can do that, however, may very much depend on how I treat the invitations of my life. As I thought about invitations as we gathered our steam towards September, it seemed to me that there are two responses, two sort of fundamental responses to invitations, that we come toward them with these two sort of components in our inviting repertoire, if you will. The first thing we come to the invitations of our lives with is a posture or an approach. And the second thing we come to the invitations of our life with are the efforts or the sort of conscious attempts that we will make to respond to them. You've likely seen or felt in your own life the interplay of posture and approach and conscious effort and attempt. Let's start with posture. You know what I mean by posture and approach. I don't just mean whether you slouch into the invitations of your life or whether you kind of sit up straight in your chair and, I mean, how will you approach your life? Something comes to you, something comes at you, something shakes you at your very foundations, and you have to approach that invitation with some sort of posture. You can accept an invitation grudgingly, even resentfully, what if I have to, or you can come into some invitation in your life with a sense of expectation and openness. I don't know where this will lead, but maybe this will be good. Perhaps you can even approach some invitations to life with a willingness. May I be led. Our Christian brothers and sisters might say something like, send me, O Lord, that I may be of service, I may be of use, use me. And that posture, in those cases when our posture almost assumes an openness and a willingness, guess what? Often transformation is like invite change or love or possibility by entering with a posture or an approach or an attitude, if you will, that accepts the invitation. The second thing we can do is we can work at it. We can put in a conscious effort or attempt to actually accept an invitation or offer an invitation. You can make a conscious and concerted effort when you accept an invitation in order to get the most out of it. It seems to me that when we do more than merely passively accept an invitation, when we occasionally lean in and try to get as much out of it as possible, that's when we tend to get more. Of course, we can, and sometimes do, simply refuse to answer the invitations we receive. We can be, it seems to me, very stingy. I know I can. We can limit the reach of our lives. We can stay in the zone of comfort and relative safety. And we do this not only by turning down the invitations that life offers to us. We can do it by saying no to people. And we can do it by trying desperately to shut things out. We can say no, and we can go even further than that. You've probably met people who do this. I know none of you have. You can actively invite negativity and anger and distrust into your life. Perhaps you've offered an invitation to someone only to have them shut you down. Maybe not even in their words, but just in the way that they respond, you feel immediately. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They're not really present in this moment with me. I'm all alone. I've been thinking about that negativity and anger and distrust and mistrust that we can meet the world with. And I look at our global landscape right now, and I think it's running rampant. We're being taught over and over again at sort of unprecedented levels that even though we could connect with people all over the world all the time, we ought to say no to that. We're being taught that everybody is a potential enemy, a potential threat, a potential danger, that everyone won't understand us. What would it look like if we went the other way? If we were countercultural enough to actually invite the potential learning and possibility that each person, each being we encounter represents. What if instead of shutting it out and shutting it down, we found ways and reasons to invite more in? Now, I like to think that I'm really good at this, but I actually have a pretty good story of how I'm not that I want to share with you this morning. So we finished our work here in June, and a day or so after that, I got on an airplane to go visit a good friend of mine. He was my best man at our wedding, and I hadn't seen him since we moved up here, and it was far too long. I needed to lay eyes on him. And he lives in Asheville, North Carolina, which is beautiful country, the mountains of North Carolina. But you know where North Carolina is, right? It's in the south of the United States of America. South. Place they have these little, you know, Confederate flags and a history, people with brown skin not so good. And I spent an entire 4 years going to college in North Carolina. So I've had a lot of positive experiences with people in the South, with Southern hospitality. And yet, as I was flying home from my visit with my friend, I was in the Atlanta airport and I was looking at all the different gates as I was walking by on my way, going where I was going to go next. And I looked at some of the signs in the gates and I went, Montgomery, Alabama? Monroe, Louisiana? people in North Carolina. You shut it down and shut it out and put your blinders on and were content to just rail against whole categories of people with absolutely no basis in fact. I've never been to Montgomery, Alabama or Monroe, Louisiana. They might be the nicest places in the world. What do I know? But I got my chop on and I decided middle-aged person now, and I'm actually the recent beautiful, sunny summer beginning to turn into fall days that we had recently. I sat on a bench with a few quiet moments. I don't get any of those. A few quiet moments by myself, looking out at the gorge. And I sat there and I watched these two swans in the middle of the water. And I looked at the angle of the light. And I thought, I won't always get to see these things. I won't always be here to watch light on water. I won't always look at swans and the graceful elegance of their necks. Life will not always be mine. So what am I doing? Time's wasting. But really, what I invited that moment in. I invited the sunshine to come into me. I invited the swans to teach me what they had to teach me. I invited in the life that is life, not the life that is not life. So I want to close this morning by inviting you to think about how you're going to invite the life that is life into you each day. I want to invite you, actually, into a spiritual practice. Spiritual practice. I'm going to invite you into it, even though I'm not really actually practicing myself. It's a practice I want to do. So maybe if I ask you to do it, I'll do it. It's actually an old Catholic Ignatian practice that Unitarians and others have kind of changed and morphed a little over the centuries, but it's called the prayer of examine. And the idea is that at the end of each day, whether you journal or not, you would take a few moments before you read your book or whatever it is that you do to unwind, and you would scan back through the images and the feelings and the impressions and the sensations of the day that you had just and you would ask yourself, where did I see the holy? Where did I see the sacred? Where was the spirit? Where was what I call God present for me in this day? Where, and then you'd ask yourself, and where was my sense of that sacred, my sense of the ultimate, my sense of what is meaningful? Where was it absent in my day today? Where was it missing in my day today? Perhaps you would ask yourself in this realm of invitation, where was I when and where was I most present today, and when and where was I most absent from my own life today? And by looking at each day, like it's a precious gift, something that has something to tell you about who you are right here and right now. Maybe you and I and the poet will all say that when death comes, that when it's over, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was a bridegroom taking the world into my arms. Because friends, we cannot say that if we do not answer the invitations of life. And we cannot say that if we continue to close ourselves down and make ourselves as small as possible, only seeing and only taking in what we want to. give yourself as a gift. May it be so this day and every single day that you have. Amen. When death comes, I want to say, all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. Life is so dear, full of swans and sunsets, full of love and beauty, full of pain and sadness too. But it is but one life you get. It is but one world we share. Let us fill it with an expansive love. Let us extend ourselves in invitation to life. So may it be.